Gulf Stream Land LLC is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, dividing 47.26 acres into 90 lots under the cluster development concept, also requesting a variance from the maximum allowed cul-de-sac length of 1,000 feet, and being located north and south of Road 363, 1,320 feet east of Road 84. Gentlemen, this application was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee on November 23rd of 2005. And that Technical Advisory Committee report is a part of the record. First this week, we received a revised drawing of the woodlands. We also received a booklet from McCroom Engineers, Surveyors, Planners. And if you all were provided a copy or have one placed before you this evening, if you weren't available. The contents within that booklet includes an executive summary, existing condition, which includes a boundary survey and overview of current site conditions. Proposed residential cluster development concept, which included development of the woodlands concept, preliminary land use service comments, and subdivision considerations, being the 17 items under 99-9C. Compliance with zoning requirements references, which are there are seven. Compliance with the zoning requirements, which there are three, and there were 28 figures a part of that appendices. And that again is now a part of the record. And I would go ahead and open the public hearing, Mr. Wheatley, if you desire. Unless you have questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Robert Robbins. I'm here on behalf of the applicant, Gulfstream Land, LLC. Many of you are familiar with Gulfstream. It's a local company. They have a lot of roots in this area. They've done a variety of projects, particularly in the area of this particular project, the Woodlands. With me tonight, I have Bob Harris, who's a principal of Gulfstream, and also have Brian Pinkerton and Kevin Burdett from McCrone Engineering, who will be helping with the presentation. I believe Mr. Lang covered the basics of this. This is a 90-lot, single-family, detached cluster development on just over 47 acres. We are below the 2 unit per acre maximum that would be allowed. This is in the environmentally sensitive developing district. The water supply will be provided by Tidewater Utilities. The sewer is a bit more complicated. It will be supplied eventually by the Sussex County. There's actually a project next to this that I believe you all will be seeing next month called the Estuary, and as part of that project, the county will be running sewer to this area, and the Estuary project is under contract to provide sewer from this project. So this project will be getting sewer through the Estuary project.
But the Estuary, that's going to be a county-operated sewer.
That's system. The latest of our understanding of it.
But has that one been approved yet?
There's actually there's an older subdivision, approved subdivision of 380 lots, which was approved under the name of the Palisades. It's actually contiguous to this particular project. That project is now being incorporated into this larger estuary project, and that will be, I believe, around 1,000 homes, which is coming in front of you next month.
And in response to that, county engineering, obviously, any decision made by them is contingent upon what planning and zoning would do, you know, on the estuary. I'm not sure, is that an RPC or is that a subdivision?
I believe it's going to be an RPC. Is that correct?
I know the Palisades was.
I believe.
This is.
I just want to clear that up for the record since it's come up.
My name is Robert Harris, and I'm the president of Gulfstream Development and one of the principals in Gulfstream Land LLC. Speaking without complete knowledge, but I do believe that the estuary is supposed to be a AR subdivision.
Yeah, that's what I understood. So whatever engineering does, that's obviously going to be contingent on whatever planning and zoning does. I think they're just looking at it conceptually as to who would operate a sewer plant there, whether it be private or county, if and when it's ever approved. So, you know, I think that the timing of it would somewhat coincide with what we're hearing tonight on this one.
And basically, I mean, quite frankly, our fate with sewer hinges on the estuary and their efforts with the county. But it's my understanding that they've been in pretty involved negotiations with the county to get that provided. The highlights of this project are that 38% of the land will remain as open space. All of the wetlands are protected as open space. None of the wetlands are part of any of the lots. Most of the lots border on an open space area, about 71% of the lots. And we believe that the impact on the woods, the southern portion of this property, if you look, the Double Bridges Road actually kind of bisects this property. The southern portion, which is a smaller piece, is wooded. We're proposing to have larger lots in the southern portion so that most of the trees will be retained in that area. The amenities as proposed as part of this will be a pool. We have open space, as I said. We also have the passive recreation areas that will be provided. There's also, I'll get into the multimodal paths later. Also, as part of the plus requirements, the Double Bridges development, or the estuary, which will be going in kind of to the southwest of this project, we will be having interconnectivity with that, with the cul-de-sac that you see at the bottom right-hand corner of the project. I think it's down to the bottom. The lots here are larger than the average larger than the minimum of 7,500 square feet for a cluster development lot. We tried to incorporate some of the advantages of a standard subdivision by having larger than average lots to give the feeling of more space and less density, even while we're doing cluster development, to preserve as much open space as possible. Because this plan was filed a year ago, and then looking at other cluster of subdivisions that have been considered by the Planning Commission, we've also, since this plan was submitted, we've also agreed to incorporate multimodal paths through the internal streets of the subdivision. And then we've also provided, pursuant to DLDOT comments, a 15-foot wide easement along Double Bridges Road to allow for future multimodal path to be constructed when the larger development goes in next door, if it does. We also have a multimodal connection to Byard Road. We've also added, we also plan to have street lights with this project, and we also have one of the other comments that we've noticed you all have questions about are bus stops. We have two areas of open space on both sides of Double Bridges Road. It's anticipated that one of those will be a bus stop. That will depend on negotiations with the school district about where they would like to see the bus stop. With that, I'll have Mr. Harris address the commission for a moment.
Thank you. Once again, I'm the principal and president of Gulfstream Development Corporation. We purchased this property about 2 years ago, and with the intent to develop a single-family subdivision of larger lots than were being planned in other areas that were using a cluster type of zoning. We both develop lots and we build the houses on these lots. So it is our intention to construct the development and to build the houses that would be built there. We've been building in this general area, Bethany, Millville, Ocean View, since 1985, and have developed over 1,000 lots and built just about 1,000 homes. If I could clarify one thing on the sewer issue, We have a contract with the developers of the estuary project for them to provide us with sewer. And that agreement was made about a year and a half ago. At the time, they were planning to go with a private wastewater system, which they are approved for. Since then, they have decided that it would be better for them and for the area to have public sewer available through Sussex County, and that's how we ended up at the point where we are right now. But they do have an approved private system if the public system should not become available to them, and they are contractually obligated to provide us with sewer for our lots. That's all I have.
If I can follow up on that, though, that contractual obligation and the prior, I guess the plan for the estuary, though, that, I mean, is that based on the Palisades approval?
Yes, it is.
So it's not contingent then on whether the estuary
gets
approved? No, it's not. Okay. That's what I want to make clear. Okay. That's the only question I have, Mr. Bailey.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm Brian Pinkerton. I'm with McCrone Engineers for the project. If I may, I have some reduced size prints of the presentation boards that we brought with us tonight.
This is basically the same information that's in the book.
Several of the images are duplicates. There are a couple additional.
It looks like photographs. The additional ones, gentlemen, are photographs of the site. So my concern is there's a 72-hour rule about submitting information to the commission part of the public hearing. But since it looks like most everything that's in here is in the book and what's not is photographs, which would be available, obviously, anybody driving around the area to look at, I'm not concerned with the fact these are submitted tonight. I just needed to make that clear for the record.
Again, what we're talking about is a 90-unit cluster subdivision located right in the middle of an area that's undergoing a good amount of development. The green areas you see are existing subdivisions identified by name, and the two large orange areas are both the estuary project, which we've talked about tonight, and Millville by the Sea, or at least a portion of it at the top. As the image represents, this is almost sort of an infill project. It goes well with the evolving character of the area, and we think it's going to fit in very nicely with the overall character of the community as it's developing. As discussed, the proposed site layout has a density of approximately 1.9 units per acre versus an allowable 2.0. We're slightly under the allowable density. Also touched on earlier is the lot size. Minimum lot size for a cluster development, as you know, is 7,500 square feet. The minimum lot size proposed under this plan, as submitted preliminarily, is 8,276 square feet, with an average lot size of 11,325 square feet. So again, we've tried to hit the best of both worlds, maximizing our open space in a cluster development while providing slightly larger lots than is allowed for the benefit of the homeowners. I would like to note in particular open space. As you all know, under a standard AR1 subdivision, 10% open space is required. And for a cluster option subdivision, 30% is required. And as touched on before, we've achieved 38% open space in a combination of preserved woodlands, wetlands, stormwater management, passive recreation areas, and the proposed clubhouse and pool area. As to forest preservation, I would like to note in particular, your development booklet notes that we've preserved 59% of the existing forest. Those areas are located, as being identified on the board, mainly towards the south ends of the project. In addition to those areas that make up 59% of the existing woods, the lots on the southern piece of the project, south of Double Bridges Road, as we talked about, are proposed to be selected clearing for wooded lots to be cleared as the lots are developed to suit the needs of the individual homeowner. In addition, you'll see in the center of the site there's an existing tax ditch that's got some existing tree row, mature trees, and surrounding vegetation that is also proposed to be undisturbed, and that accounts for an additional acre in itself. As the project development book covers, the project has been designed in consideration of all the requirements identified in Chapter 99, Section 99-9, and I'll run through those and highlight some of the key points of our development for you tonight. Again, as required by a cluster development, we have allowed for a 30-foot forested buffer adjacent to any agricultural lands, as being pointed out now, to the north edge of the site. Along the eastern border of the northern portion of the site, where we are adjacent to existing residential uses, we are proposing either a 4-foot planted berm or 6-foot solid fence as a screen as required. We just talked about the general area and surrounding communities. I'll refer you back to your book. When you're considering the project, I'll refer you back to figures 1, 22, and 27 of the appendices. Figure 27 is presented tonight on a board. Again, it just shows the vicinity of our site in relation to several existing and proposed communities in the area. If we could, I'd like to look at the preliminary site plan. As delineated and submitted for jurisdictional determination, the site contains 3.8 acres of wetlands. The wetlands are located at the western end of the site and along the southernmost end of the site, as well as a small piece adjacent to Double Bridges Road, immediately to the west of the south entrance.
Yeah, there you go.
All those wetlands are proposed to be completely undisturbed, to remain intact. And also, our site lies completely out of the 100-year floodplain, and as a matter of fact, I believe completely out of the 500-year floodplain. Kind of touched on a little bit of this, but as far as natural and historic features of the site, again, we have 100% wetland protection, 59% forest protection, plus the additional 1 acre of trees and vegetation adjacent to the tax ditch, and selected clearing for wooded lots. The images you have before you tonight, the additional two figures, shows the existing vegetation and tree line as it is today, adjacent to the tax ditch. Again, that's proposed to remain intact with no disturbance. Again, that's approximately 2,200 linear feet, approximately 20 feet wide for just about an acre. Open space and scenic views. Again, if you refer back to the colored rendering of the cluster concept, we've got approximately 38% of the site preserved as open space. As we touched on earlier, about 71% of the lots, and that's 64 out of the 90, abut to an open space, whether it be in the form of preserved woods, passive recreation area with stormwater management ponds, or the 30-foot forested buffer. We're very pleased to be able to locate such a high majority of lots adjacent to open space, because we believe that's a very desirable thing for homeowners. Again, a lot of these start to become redundant, but to address minimization of tree vegetation and soil removal and grade changes, we beat tree preservation into the ground, but again, we've got 59% plus tree preservation, selective clearing for wooded lots, and our grade changes are intended to be limited to the point that we have positive drainage and minimum clearances for utility installation. We don't propose to import bulk amounts of fill to raise the site. We don't intend to do massive earthwork or regrading of the site. We want to keep this as uninvasive as possible. Again, screening from adjacent lands, we have the 30-foot forested ag buffer adjacent to existing agricultural lands, and either a 4-foot planted berm or a 6-foot solid fence adjacent to existing residential lands where we're not already buffered by woods that are going to remain. Water supply, per a letter of agreement for service, which is included in figure 20 in your development book, will be supplied by Tidewater Utilities. And we've already discussed the sanitary sewer to the limit of my understanding, so we'll not beat that one anymore. But again, sewer service is contractually obligated for the site. Surface and groundwater pollution prevention. Through a combination of structural practices, the stormwater ponds, open swales, and other best management practices as we're able to work them into the site, this site is going to meet all the requirements for water quality, including TMDL reduction. Likewise, erosion and sediment control / stormwater management. The site will be designed in coordination with and at the approval of the Sussex Conservation District in accordance with relevant current state and local regulations. Safe vehicular and pedestrian mobility. Entrances, of course, on Double Bridges Road will be designed in coordination with and subject to the approval of DLDOT. And as we discussed earlier, the developer proposes a 5-foot paved multimodal path on one side of the street throughout the subdivision to facilitate walking and biking throughout the development, along with a connection of that path to Byard Road, and along with the 15-foot easement on Byard Road and Double Bridges Road per DLDOT request to allow for a future multimodal path should they desire to install one. We do anticipate that given the wealth of development around the site, that this project will continue to increase the property values of the surrounding area. We don't anticipate a negative effect on property value at all. Preservation and conservation of farmland. This project in itself, of course, does not include preservation of any on-site agricultural land, but it does, between its buffers, preserved woodlands, and increased density, hopes to reduce the impact on adjacent farmlands. Effect on public buildings and community facilities. We believe we anticipate only a minimum effect on public building and community facilities, especially with the inclusion of the proposed pool and clubhouse. The other of your two new images tonight is photographs of two pool/clubhouse areas in subdivisions completed by Gulfstream. One is the Providence subdivision, which I believe is in Ocean View, is that correct? Which serves 63 units, combination of single family and townhouse units, I believe. And the other in the lower right portion of your drawing is the Wedgefield subdivision, which serves 180 single family homes. We only anticipate minimal impact to area roadways because of the project size. Traffic impact study would not be required. We did estimate the peak hour traffic anticipated to be generated for the site. AM peak hour traffic would be 75 trips, and the PM peak hour traffic is calculated to be 101 trips for a 90-unit subdivision. Again, compatibility with other land uses. Back to the surrounding area board. We're surrounded by development, and we believe this project to be very compatible with the trend of development in the area. Again, I'll refer you back to figures 1, 22, and 27 in your project development booklet, which all have different versions of almost the same information. And of course, immediately adjacent, as we've talked about, is the previously approved Palisades project. 383 units, I believe, and the approximately 1,000 unit pending estuary, which I understand you're going to hear next month. Regarding effect on area waterways, the site currently and will continue to discharge runoff through the Beaver Dam Canal through a combination of structural practices, open swales, and BMPs. As we talked about, we're going to provide the required stormwater management quality and quantity runoff. Will not be increased and is in fact may be reduced from current discharge as a result of stormwater management practices. Just one last note, if we could flip up the board showing a by right, quote unquote, by right development concept per standard AR1, which shows a maximum build out. Of lots that include wetlands, minimal open spaces. We don't want to do this. We don't like this. What we'd much rather do is the proposed cluster development before you tonight, comparing the two side by side. You can see the tremendous amount of tree preservation, additional open spaces, community recreational features. Again, we feel we've got a site and a design that's greatly superior to what could be done under a standard AR1 development project. And we appreciate your time, and we ask for your approval tonight. Thank you for your time tonight, and of course I'll entertain any questions.
Does that conclude your presentation, sir?
Yes, it does.
All right, sir. Thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions. Mr. Smith.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the what you just put up there about the by right subdivision, did you say that what you had up there showed wetlands within the lot lines?
It did.
That's correct.
It did.
It did.
Okay. Gotta practice that more.
That's something that hasn't looked at.
Well, that was just proposed. It was a three-quarter subdivision, right?
What I think I understood him to say was that this is the what-if scenario.
This is the worst case.
As an AR, I think the issue is that typically wetlands have not been permitted to be within lot lines, and he was just finding out how you had drawn it.
Same thing with the tax ditch, though. I mean, it seems that you've got lots and roads and everything just crossing right over what looks like it's a tax ditch, too. I mean, that seems slightly misleading compared to what the commission's done with standard subdivisions.
We do, under that concept, show the tax ditch being filled by lots and roads, and I again, that's the worst case, you know, if we could engineer it to work scenario. The most concept-level planning development under such a case, the tax ditch, of course, would have to be piped or rerouted as necessary.
I realize it's just for sort of a compare and contrast type thing.
Yeah,
we didn't put a lot of time.
It's just a for instance.
It's not what we're planning to do.
And what size lots were the by right?
I believe they're half acre lots.
Central sewer.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Oh, yeah. So in response to the plus comments, you were indicating you would go ahead and I heard you say you were going to put a multimodal path on one side of the street to allow for safe pedestrian traffic within. Do you see any problems or have any concerns with having your pool and clubhouse located up in that area for the particular lot owners that would be somewhat isolated on the other side of Double Bridges Road, having to cross that highway to get to that particular amenity?
We did consider that, and our original concept submitted to PLUS, which I believe, I forget the figure number, but it is included in your project development book, located the area for the pool and clubhouse on the first open space immediately to the east of the northern entrance. And they asked that it be relocated to a more central location, considering the westernmost end and the easternmost end of the subdivision. We felt that the position we chose was as central as we could get it relative to those two extremes.
Relative to the east and west,
right,
but not north and south.
And actually, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
No, I was just going to say, and also in conversations with the applicant who will be marketing these homes, they were saying that actually the preference for most people is not to necessarily be by a pool or community center because of the sounds generated by, you know, with activities and whatnot. So that would actually, I understand that there's a convenience factor, but then there's also the actual desires of the people who live there that might want to be away from it. So.
Right, and that applies to neighbors also.
Well, currently there aren't any there, but yes.
Right.
And I think that's why Plus wanted it moved.
And of course, of course, if there were neighbors there, that there is the 30-foot agricultural forested buffer there between the pool area and any future neighbors.
Thinking that some of your open space is comprised of the streets and the stormwater management areas and the wetlands, is that?
That's partially correct. Not the streets, but wetlands.
Partial.
Wetlands and stormwater management areas were included. Yeah.
Yeah, for the calculation, and I'm merely guessing that if the pool isn't enclosed or heated, that it's only going to be available, perhaps 3 months out of the year as an amenity. Is there anything else that the developer would consider that would add to the lifestyle and the recreational amenities of the development?
Well, I think most amenities are outdoor type activities. The pool does have the year-round clubhouse that would be associated with it. That would be available to the residents throughout the year in addition to that. In addition, there are the stormwater areas, which will be kind of a park-like setting and open to the residents.
But they wouldn't be a good place to like throw a fish, throw a frisbee or play wiffle ball.
No, there are some areas there shown on your plan that have some area for passive recreation.
Has there been an environmental assessment report filed on this and made a part of the record?
I believe it's included as one of the figures.
It's probably page 10 of your executive summary, I think. Something I saw that was close.
Well, I was thinking figure 18, which was the wetland delineation report.
Page 10 talks about various items that would be contained in the report. The only specific reference I saw to it.
Tab 24 looks like it talks about open space management plan and incorporates some of that information.
I think the environmental is broken down into different sections. We have the soils map, the recharge area map,
wetland delineation.
Space management.
The report's a requirement environmentally sensitive development area.
Yeah, that's one thing I did want to make clear. So this is an application for cluster development as opposed to one of the environmentally sensitive.
That is correct. Cluster development, yes.
So there is a report that's required to be filed.
So as Rick stated on page 10, it highlights the comments, and then as you look through the booklet, which is substantial size, it's references. There's other references that you would pick up.
There's not a specific report, but if you look at page 10 and the remainder of the document taken together, it addresses a lot of the issues, apparently. Not to put words in your mouth, but.
Hey, thank you.
Has the wetlands delineation been checked off by the Corps?
Not yet. The JD has been submitted, but it has not been approved or finalized to date.
And the Mr. McCulley's not here.
That's correct.
And so any changes in that delineation, as Mr. Wheatley mentioned, pursuant to my first question, we're not looking at having wetlands in the lot line. Should any of that change, then?
That is correct. If a change resulted
lots
in
would
the.
Have
in
to
the,
change, because it.
Right.
I thought I saw along the lots 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 and in some other areas, correct me if I'm wrong, but it looked like the wetlands delineation was running in a fairly straight line, which I'm not a wetland specialist, but when I go out, I generally don't see that happening. So be more random.
That is correct. It's shown as delineated, as hard as it is to believe that that is as delineated, and it was not not based on a conceptual layout.
And also, there's enough square footage to these lots that if the line is moved over one way or the other, that it's not like we're at the bare minimum, 7,500 square feet. So if there are any changes in delineation, we'll be able to address that with keeping in the lot size.
Wouldn't that be because the tax ditch is part of your wetland delineation and the tax ditches are relocated ditch systems that are in most cases straightened? Just looking at the map, it looks like it's tax ditch. That's really where the straight lines are.
That's wetlands too.
Yeah, no, it just appears that it's a tax ditch. That's
about right. You know, that may include the tax ditch we made through there, I don't recall. The majority of the tax ditch that cuts through the center of the site was delineated as non-wetland waters of the U.S., which of course entails a different level of permitting. I do not believe the wetlands adjacent to lots 2, 3, and 4 are part of that tax ditch. They may be contributing to it. But I do not believe the tax ditch extends through our property in that area. Yes, figure 7 contains the wetland delineation drawing.
Figure 7 was missing from my book, which I received late Tuesday afternoon. Figures 6, 7, and 13.
6, 7,
and 13. Yeah, and I checked with some of the other commissioners who didn't quite have every figure.
I do apologize for that.
Tabs as well, so I didn't have that, but I did have your site plan. Had there been an effort by Mr. McCauley or by the developer to contact his response to the PLUS, the Farm Services fellows, see if any of this was prior converted wetlands?
Not to my knowledge.
I don't believe so. Not to
Farm Service
not that we're aware of.
I could, if I could respond to the delineation. The Corps of Engineers does not typically accept statements from other agencies anymore about whether something was or was not a prior converted wetland. They want to make that determination themselves. They have been very slow in responding to requests for jurisdictional determination over the last couple of years, and at the moment they're not making them at all. So we may never get a JD from them on this property or several others that we've requested them for. So we have to ask our consultants to use their very best abilities to make sure that they're conservative in their estimates about what is and what is not a wetland. Obviously, we would rather have a JD from the Corps, but at least for right now, they're not issuing them at all, and we can only hope that that.
Has the Corps' jurisdiction come into question here lately?
Yeah, I was going to ask Mr. Robinson if he had any information on that. The Supreme Court's been addressing what's wetlands and what's not. I know they just recently handed down a decision.
I thought they did. I thought they throttled them back a little bit.
Yeah, that's what it seems to say. Yeah, but it's still in flux. I think the Corps is now taking that decision and trying to determine what it means.
They have a policy. The policy has been issued from Washington to each district as of last week to not issue any jurisdictional determinations until they have figured out what their jurisdiction is. So.
there were two.
Constructively, doesn't that mean that they at least at this point don't feel that they have sufficient standing?
Well, I don't know that that's necessarily the case, but I think more importantly for the purposes of this,
they're watching us on the internet, right?
Yeah,
I'm sure.
There were two cases
right now, and they've been decided. But in deciding them, it's not clear then now what the Corps of Engineers has to come back and do with regard to wetlands. But what I will say for the commission, for the purpose of this is a preliminary site plan, and that's going to come into play if the preliminary site plan is approved. Once they go through, it's just like stormwater management and a number of other issues. The wetlands issues will be, if approved, and certainly I'm not presuming that would be the case, but that would be something that they would have to address and get some finalization to the best of their ability prior to final site plan submission. So I don't know if we need to get into the finer points of the wetlands at this stage.
I was just asking the question to see if they had, according to their responses to PLUS, it indicated they would consider contacting Farm Service Agency as to prior converted wetlands.
Right. Oh, I know that. Yeah, we sort of spun into other issues from that.
Yeah. No other questions at this time.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Gordy.
Are you proposing a landscape area along the Double Bridges Road? Is that just the easement for the 15-foot easement?
There is the 15-foot easement. There's also additional open space behind a few of those lots to the east of the cul-de-sac that will be landscaped, yes.
And how much forested area you say you can preserve?
59% of the existing wooded area for complete preservation. And again, several additional lots will be selectively cleared for wooded lots, and then an additional 1 acre of trees and vegetation along the tax ditch through the center of the site.
Okay. In reference to the tax ditch, who's going to maintain the tax ditch?
I believe whoever the current tax ditch authority for that ditch is. There's an existing, I think it's 16.5-foot maintenance easement on the west side of the ditch that will remain.
And also because it's owned by the Homeowners Association, I'm sure that they'll undertake maintenance of it too.
And okay. Routine lawn clipping and such.
Right.
And as part of our submission, we submitted a proposed budget and maintenance for things, including landscaping, roads, things like that.
And
so that'll be part of it.
I mean, it was part of it?
Yes, sir.
The tax ditch was part of it?
No, just I meant the area around the tax ditch and in the easement.
So. That's all the question.
Thank you, sir. Johnson?
Would you clarify for me the issue about the sidewalks or the multimodal pathways? Are they internal on the internal streets or?
Yes, what we're proposing are within the internal streets that will have the multimodal paths. Along Double Bridges Road, we're doing what DelDOT asked us to do and provide the easement and also engineer that area to have multimodal paths in the future. Right now, those paths really wouldn't go anywhere. But eventually when the estuary, if that's put in, they'll be ready to be connected to the multimodal paths there, unless DelDOT looks for something else down the road too. So.
And the internal pathways would interconnect with those pathways that are on Double Bridges Road?
That's right.
Yes.
Okay.
And also to Byard Road. And there will also be a path to Byard Road as well.
Right, yeah. Have no further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Burton.
So you're proposing not to put the one in on Double Bridges Road, but you're going to wait until the estuary may or may not come in? But if it does, then you'll do it?
Actually, what DelDOT has asked us to do is just to make the space available to basically do the site work to make it compatible for having the multimodal paths. But at this point, I don't think that there's any need to have that there since there's nothing to connect to. Eventually, it will be part of a larger pathway, I would assume. But
okay. How do you get to the clubhouse? Do you got to walk there?
There is a walkway between lots 25 and 26.
No cars.
Would that help? Why would that be? there would obviously have to be some access for vehicles to get back there, but it wouldn't be a parking, a driveway or anything like that.
Not in the clubhouse either? You can't park at the clubhouse?
It would be on-street parking around there to walk back to.
So you'd park in, you'd park in front of lot 25 and 24 and then...
And I think it would be anticipated that most people would walk there anyway. To the extent that anyone drives to it, that's where the parking would be.
And that is a feature of the design that we do intend to consider in more depth should the plan receive preliminary approval and engineering proceeds to final stages.
I think you'd have to have some parking because this guy's not walking there.
The guy down the bottom corner.
Yeah.
Not gonna walk across
the I'm assuming that the multimodal path that's on the I guess the east side of Double Bridges Road, it's stopped because of the wetlands right after lot 79.
That's right.
No further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Your counts?
Not being an engineer, I'm trying to reconcile what I heard and what I see. And if you could maybe explain it a little bit. In your discussion about the 19C requirements, I think it is, or Chapter 99 requirements, you were talking about minimization of tree vegetation, soil removal, and grade change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you said, at least what I understood you to say, was that you're not going to bring in fill.
That.
But I look at C2, the preliminary site layout and utilities plan, and there is a lot of existing grade at 14, 15 feet, but a lot of final grade at 16, 17 feet, which in my simple mind means somebody
sure.
brought in a foot or two of fill.
No, let me clarify in case I wasn't perfectly clear the first time. What we intend to do is minimal grading and minimal earthwork to allow only what's required to allow for positive drainage and for utility installation for minimum cover and appropriate depths and such for utilities. That will include, I'm sure, as the preliminary grading shows, in its final stages, it will include some fill or some relocation of dirt. What I was trying to get across is that we don't intend to bring several feet of fill or 2 or 3 feet across the whole site. We intend to keep it as minimal as possible, just what we need to facilitate appropriate drainage and utilities.
Okay. That's your testimony. Thank you. That's all I've got.
Thank you. Mr. Lang?
There really hadn't been a question raised other than that we realized that there are lots on both sides of Double Bridges Road. Do you feel there could be a safety feature or issue being you've got less than 20 lots on the opposite side of Double Bridges Road that are going to have to cross Double Bridges Road to get to the site on the north side where the recreational facilities are and most of the and all the amenities?
Without a formal TIS performed, I can only offer a personal opinion, of what I would anticipate for the site. And my personal opinion, viewing the site, is that for those few lots, I would not anticipate a safety hazard or a traffic problem generated by vehicles attempting to cross the road to access the community area. Again, that's purely without the benefit of any formal traffic study to determine directional percentages and items such as that.
I think that that's something that could be answered with a crosswalk or something similar to that, if that's...
Yeah, that's basically why I was asking the question, which having and just in preliminary thoughts on design. Now, those people may wish to drive across to the site, and you're saying you're not providing any parking at the clubhouse or the pool. And the area you say you might park in is at a curve of basically an almost a 9-degree turn. which is going to be very limited on the amount of parking you can get, but I, if there's a few cars, you're going to block several people's driveways, possibly. Could be interesting. Homeowners Association is going to have fun with that, probably. Might want to consider relocating your rec site somewhere else more centralized. I don't really think that's central. And again, as Rick mentioned earlier, it's not just impacting the lot purchasers, future homeowners in this project. It's, you may have neighbors on, they're going to be impacted by it more than some of the majority of the residents in this project.
And certainly I would say that should preliminary approval be granted, that is a feature and aspect of the design that we do intend to explore with the developer as we move forward.
That's all I have.
Answer, thank you. Mr. Robertson?
No questions. All mine have been asked earlier.
All right, sir. Thank you. Gentlemen, if you'll be kind enough to take a seat, we'll see if there's anyone here with interest in your application. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-49 Gulfstream Land LLC? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-49? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Being none, we'll close the public hearing. We invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday night with us to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is subdivision 2005-50 KGH Properties Development LLC.